Song of Solomon this morning, and I'm going to speak a couple of weeks out of the first parts of this book, the Song of Solomon. This Song of Solomon, in the first verse of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, we're going to be this morning, it's called the Song of Songs of Solomon. If you look there in verse 1, you'll see that the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. If you were to turn your radio on this morning, if you come into if you're driving and you were to get in your vehicle and you turn your radio on, there's no doubt that you'll find all kinds of songs about love. There's some at what man calls love, I guess, and you'll hear somebody crooning about a lost love of a lady or a lost love of a man, maybe, perhaps. Some woman crooning about a lost love. In today's society, there's no telling what they'll be singing back and forth about. But you'll hear those songs, won't you? You'll even hear people singing and crying and whining about lost dogs and trucks and all kinds of things. And the truth of the matter is, as man speaks, so his heart is. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And there's all kinds of songs in our society today that speak of what man understands about love. Now, that's not true in perfect love. We understand that, correct? Well, the Song of Solomon mentions this. This is the Song of Songs of Solomon. Now, Solomon wrote over 3,000 songs. Now, we come as men, sometimes we come to this passage of Scripture, and the world has taken the Word of God, and they've tried to pervert the Word of God. They've tried to take parts of the Word of God that are maybe difficult for us as men. Sometimes we get to reading some of the descriptive languages in the book of the Song of Solomon. And men who are unregenerate men will pervert the Word of God. But we who are regenerated, we know the Lord is our Savior, we can come with maturity to the Word of God, and we can gain some things from the Word of God that are towards our benefit. And that's what I hope to do with you this morning, according to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's ways that you can take the Song of Solomon and you can interpret the Song of Solomon. I'm going to cover a couple of those very quickly with you, then we'll get right into the meat of the lesson this morning. If you come to the Song of Solomon, those who are mature Christians, there's several ways that it can be interpreted. Number one, you could interpret the Song of Solomon historically. In other words, you can see the life of Solomon. You can see the life of the one called the Shulamite woman, or the Beloved, here in the Scripture, and you could try to learn things historically from it. You can also go to this Word of God, the Song of Solomon, and you can try to study and understand it from an aspect of the ecclesiastical or a church type of study, the relationship of Jesus Christ to the church as a whole, and you can try that. Some others can try to just to read through it in a manner of poetry. It's a song, it's a prose, it's a conversation that takes place between Solomon and the one that's called the Beloved. And you'll see the Beloved begins to speak in the Song of Solomon, and then you'll see a response from Solomon. So you could try to study it from that aspect of it. But there's also a picture. The Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we can understand when we come to the Word of God that there's also a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Beloved. And I'm talking about His Beloved. You, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one of the Beloved of Christ. I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm one of the Beloved of Christ. And that's how we're going to look at things the next couple of weeks as I go through a couple of lessons here from the Song of Solomon. And I want you to understand that. You're not going to understand this unless, number one, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God gives His children understanding of the Word of God. As the Word of God goes out, if you're honest with God, you have a heart that's clean before God, the Holy Spirit of God will give you understanding to the Word of God, and He can. Now, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, it may be difficult for you, but I want you to pay careful attention this morning as you go into the Song of Solomon. It's the song of divine loves. It shows the divine love. There's a picture of the divine love from Solomon being a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and us, His children, on an individual level, how Christ loves us so dearly. We're going to enter into this descriptive language. Look it with me in verse 1. We'll read together. Can we please? The Song of Songs. This is the main one. This is the one that people refer to. It has its own book as the canon of Scripture has been preserved for us, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And here's where we're going to get to this morning, just the first half of verse 2. Let's look at that. Let him, talking of Solomon, now we see that it's the Shulamite woman who begins to speak, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Look in verse 3 with me. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Now we have some single young ladies here this morning, don't we? I'm not going to make you stand up. Would you just raise your hand if you're a single young lady? Well, one of these days, amen, that's good. One of these days you have a desire, right? You have, every single young lady should have a desire to meet a godly young man, and that godly young man and that godly young lady are going to go through a period of courtship. And as they go through that period of courtship, that young man eventually is going to ask that young lady, will you marry me? And June is the how many of you were married in June? Would you raise your hands? My wife and I were married in June. June the 25th is our anniversary. And it's been, it doesn't seem like a year. So that's how, I'm leaving it to that. So we have the bride. She comes forth. She's arrayed in all of her glory there in her beautiful white dress. And she begins to come forward. And she begins to come forward. The groom standing here, as nervous as he can be, as we remember we were, nervous as all get out. And they're going to go through this ceremony. The pastor is going to lead the groom through the vows of marriage, which are holy vows. And then he's going to get to a certain point when he's all finished. They've taken those holy vows before the witnesses of the church. And we're going to see that the pastor is going to look at that groom and says, you may kiss the bride. And we're going to, as a church, we should rejoice in that kiss, right? There's nothing profane about that kiss. There's nothing wrong about that kiss. By the way, our generation's lost the sense of sacredness of that, haven't they? We've lost that. I wish our generation would get back to the sense of how sacred a thing that can be. But there's that kiss that sort of seals that marriage, right? Now, let me ask you a question. All of you gentlemen and all you ladies have been married for some time. Did you, yes or no, it's a yes or no question, not one of those, did you or did you not, brides, desire to be kissed before you were married? Yes or no?
Yes.
And what we have here is, and gentlemen, we know the answer to that question is what? Yes. We had that desire. Now, if that desire that we had is not a wrong desire, it's taking the desire and moving it to an emotion where it shouldn't be and acting upon a desire outside of the bounds of where it should be placed. It's wrong.
That's right.
The desire itself is not wrong for a young man to want to desire to kiss a young lady and vice versa, as long as they understand that there's a bounds of marriage that comes with. We understand that. Amen?
Right.
Yeah, good. So understanding that, we see a picture happening. Where we are in this picture is in the Song of Solomon right now in verse 2 is that we're in the picture of a kiss. There's a great desire. This is before the marriage has taken place. But there's a strong desire. Now, I want us to read that again. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, you say, well, Brother Ward, we're going to take the Song of Solomon and we're going to make the application between Christ and the beloved, the saved in Christ, the individual who's trusted Christ. Well, how can that application be made? Well, I'm glad you asked. And we're going to make that application this morning. Let's look at that carefully with me. I want us to notice some things in the light of Scripture, in the light of making application, that Solomon is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the beloved who is speaking in verse 2 is a type of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. I want us to make some application. Let's look at that verse again. Let him, this divine kiss, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is number one. A kiss of desire. Notice that little word there. Every little word in the every word of God is important. Notice that one little word, let. Can you see the young bride as she's, this young lady as she's where she is? She recognizes who Solomon is and all of his glory. She recognizes him and she sees the train pass her way and she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. There's great desire there. Now, before we go to this, as she says, let him kiss me, I want you to notice two things about this kiss of desire. There's a benefactor, and there's one who is the benefactor of the kiss, and one who gives off the beneficiary of the kiss. There's one who receives that kiss that she desired. There's the one who's the benefactor of the kiss. Well, the benefactor, the one who actually is the benefactor, is this who's one who is giving the blessing as he's receiving the kiss that we're going to speak about here, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He, when we come to him by faith, now this is where I want you to pay attention. This is a picture of the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and his beloved disciples. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we are placing our kiss of faith upon him. But the Bible tells us this. We love him because what, class? He first loved us. Well, who is this Christ of the kiss of desire of salvation? Who is this Christ that we speak about this morning when we come to this passage of Scripture, this benefactor of the kiss? I think of his great passion. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of him as he speaks to us in Luke chapter 13, verse 34. If you'll write that down and sometime go study that. He looks over the city of Jerusalem. I think of his great desire when he says to the city of Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." What's this demonstrating to us this morning, class? It demonstrates to us the great desire that Christ has to be kissed by every individual with a kiss of faith. He says here in this passage of Scripture, as we're given this demonstration of his great love, "Oh, Jerusalem." How many of you ever grieved over a young son or a daughter who's wandered away, or perhaps their heart's not where it needs to be with the Lord, and you're thinking, "Oh Lord, if you could just grab that young person, if they could just see the truth, if they could just understand the truth." The great desire that Christ has here in this passage of Scripture, as he comes here, he says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he's expounding, he's expending his love out to this city of Jerusalem. Just like he poured himself out on the cross of Calvary. We're all familiar with that. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved..." Don't miss the small words in Scripture, beloved. "He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." Notice that word. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And may I say to you this morning that the benefactor of the kiss, the one who allows the beneficiary of the kiss to receive that or place upon him that kiss of faith, he's already kissed us with the kiss of love through the cross of Calvary. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, beloved, may I say to you, if you don't remember this morning, Christ loves you. If you've never been here before, or this is new to you, or you've never heard how much Christ loves you, if you hear nothing else this morning in the gospel message, or you hear nothing else or understand nothing else, understand this, that Christ, God the Father, loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die in your stead and to die in my stead. That's what he's done for us. That's how much he loved us. There's only one thing, though. We know that we understand his great love for you. What great love! His desire is that you kiss him with a kiss of faith. But we got to understand something. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 tells us this. "But without faith it is what, class? Impossible to please God. For they that... For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Friend, this morning, beloved, this morning, know that God loves you. He cares for you. He is the one who wants to give you the benefits of the kiss of faith. He's already done all the work. He placed himself on the cross of Calvary. He took upon himself all the sins of all mankind. Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us that he tasted death for every man, and he has given out an invitation for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what God's done. That's the benefactor of this kiss of faith. But we don't have the benefactor, we have the beneficiary of this kiss of faith. And this little word, this kiss of faith, is a kiss of permission. Look back with me in Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me. She's saying, let. You know what? Anybody who's in love and is truly in love never forces himself on the object of his love. You know, I could bind my wife up and I could, you know, she probably feels this way, haul her all over the country. And I can make her go where I want to say, you are going to love me today. That's going to be hard for her. God never forces himself on the individual. That's why you see here this thought process. This is a kiss of permission. Look, how many of you met friends from the past? I have a friend named Steve that I was able to recently catch up with, who's a Christian. When I was working over in Cincinnati, he lives in that area. And it was sweet to have fellowship with him and the Lord, one-on-one brother in the Lord, because we encouraged one another. Iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance of a friend sharpeneth the countenance. We were to have that fellowship together. Now, there's also been friends that I've met from the past who they're not serving the Lord. And you're wishing that they would walk in fellowship. They went to Christian school, maybe, or they even have a fellowship. They have a testimony that they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your heart is so saddened, and you reach out to them, and you try to receive from them. You try to give to them that fellowship in the Lord. Well, the Lord was good today. Perhaps you send a little note to them, or I hope I'm praying for you. Whatever that note happens to be, and you send that note out, and then there's no reciprocation. You know what? I can't expect reciprocation, can I? If I'm the friend I'm supposed to be, I can't say, you will be my friend. You know, you can't do that. Christ does not do that with us. This kiss of permission, this kiss is a kiss of permission. And I was reminded when I do have friends, or I run across friends who no longer serve the Lord, that's what do you think Christ feels like? When those who he has given all, you know what? Christ finished the work of salvation. Every man, every woman that has been born or will be born upon this earth, every one, the price of salvation has already been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already paid for it. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that when he was done, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the throne on high, expecting until his enemies be his footstool. But you know what? Christ will not come down and force himself beyond our own will. He won't do it. Now, I know that there may be some that heard that, but this kiss is a kiss of permission. Let, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Not only is this a kiss of permission, this is a pleading word. It's a pleading word. It's the same thought. Can you imagine with me, if you'll go and you'll study the history of Solomon, if you'll study the history of this Shulamite woman, she is one who has worked and toiled in the sun all day. If you'll go to the last part of the book here, she'll say in verse around 8 or 9, 10, she'll say, look not upon me, verse 6, excuse me, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me a keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. This is a young lady here. What's she saying? She says, don't despise me because I am black. My brothers have sent me out into the field. My mother's children have sent me out into the field. How many of you know what a farmer's tan is? Right, sure, we've got farmers here, right? And we have farmers here who understand when you get in that sun and you get in that toil and labor, she says, I've been forced by my mother's children, either it was a stepbrother or something like that, I've been forced to labor, and the sun has beat upon me, and it's tore me down, and it's got me exasperated and tired beyond all condition of any hope. She says, don't look upon me and despise me. because of that. She looks at the son. Not only is the son is a kiss of permission, it's also a kiss of great desire, of passion. She says, let him. She sees King Solomon come through with his royal train. She understands who he is. She sees the fair maidens that walk behind him. Despite all of Solomon's faultiness and everything else, she still understands who he is, and she still has a desire to be kissed by the king, the divine one, the one who's the king. When we were sinners, sin beat us down. Sin put us under its toil of sun and hardship. And look, may I ask you this morning, what kind of life are you in? What kind of life do you live? Has this world and this life torn you down so much? That's the son of Satan tearing you down, bringing you to the toil and labor of sin, under the burden of sin. And what he wants to do is free you from that burden of sin. And there is a desire that must come on your place. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 2, verse 2, we're given the warning. He says, kiss the son, lest ye be angry and ye perish in the way. Oh, beloved, this morning, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember what it was like when you walked in sin. Remember how the devil had you down and bound, and you had to be released from that bondage of sin? That's what she's saying. There's the picture there that's given to us. She's simply saying, with a great passion, this great kiss of desire, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What she's doing, beloved, is placing the kiss of faith. It's a demonstration of the child of God, the sinner who comes in repentance towards God, realizing they cannot save themselves, realizing then this also, who the king is. Amen. Who's this one that saves us? Who is this king of glory? Well, let's look in the book of Revelation, right? Can we be reminded this morning, not only is the one who came and he gave up his life for us, he made of himself of no reputation, Jesus Christ, made himself of no reputation and took on the form of servant and became a man, and he went through all the temptations that man went through. He was tempted in every point without sin, the Bible tells us. Yet without sin. And he went through that agonizing pain of death. He became that sin for us, that he was the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Who is this King of glory? Not only did he die, he rose again victorious 3 days later from the grave. He's the one who rose from the grave, and he lives forevermore. He now is in heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But one day in the book of Revelation, it says that all the nations are going to gather together. Every tongue, every kindred, every tribe is going to be together, beloved. And he's there, and he's standing there, and they're going to say to him in that day, King of kings and Lord of lords. May I say to you, when we were saved, and when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's the King of kings, the Almighty, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom asked you, who desires that you place the kiss of faith upon him. That's who it is. And all you have to do is just simply believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Well, I don't understand it, Brother Ward. I don't understand how a holy God could send down a holy Christ who would live a sinless life and then place his righteousness on my account. I don't understand it either. The Bible says the only thing I have to do is place the kiss of faith upon the finished work of Christ. And it's faith. It's not our understanding. It's faith we must place. I can try to understand it. I can try to understand the physics of that chair holding me up. Let me tell you, I'm a country boy from Tennessee. I can't explain why that can hold me up. It's amazing to me. But when I sit in it, I've placed my faith in it. And you must individually place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the beautiful picture of this kiss. She's saying, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of the believer. Let, she says, that permissive word, that passionate word, let him, there's that divine word, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This divine kiss is a kiss of the divine. It's a kiss of desire, but then also it's a kiss of declaration. I'm going to be finished in just a couple minutes. You've been wonderful listening to me. Let's look in the scripture here. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his what, class? His mouth. Well, what's that mean? What does that really mean? Well, let's talk about the culture from which this was given to us. The Word of God was given. The Word of God, by the way, is settled forever in heaven already. How's that so? I don't understand the mysteries of it all. I just have to believe it by faith. We've been given this Word of God, preserved in Word forever. In heaven, it was settled. So God's beyond our own understanding. But let me tell you something. We get to this history of the genre, the period of time that Solomon was written in, and they used to come and they would kiss the hands as a sign of being humble before someone. Or they would humble themselves and they would bow down and they would kiss the feet of someone because of submission. They'd also, they may kiss the cheek of someone. You see it today over in the Middle East. You'll see men, they'll kiss each other's cheek, side cheek to cheek, as a kiss of brotherhood. In other words, the companionship. Well, we don't do that in America today. Praise the Lord. We shake hands, right? But still, we understand the implication of that, right? We love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? We are to. The Bible says, if you don't love your brother, how can you say that you're my child? If you don't show love one towards another, shame on us if we get out of sorts with our brothers in the Lord. But then there's the kisses of his mouth. And here's the importance of that wording. That's the most intimate of kisses. Now, you gentlemen, you may kiss my wife on the hand today, and I may let it pass. You start kissing her on the mouth, we got problems. Right? Isn't that right? I may say maybe he's a southern gentleman. He wants to kiss my wife. But the southern gentleman part runs out the window if you get too close to the mouth. Why? That's why I said earlier that it's a very important thing that young ladies understand how intimate that is. Oh, that we would learn things at a younger age when our parents tell us. Amen?
Yes, sir.
That's okay. The Lord knows us. He knows where we're at. But he says the kisses of his mouth. Well, what does that mean for us? How can we apply that from the Lord to us as Christians? Because of this, once we've placed the kiss of faith upon him, he continually places the kiss of faith, his word, upon us. You ever been tired? We have the kiss of his word in Ephesians chapter 1:7. Well, against the attacks of our accuser, the kisses of his mouth tells us in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. When our heart longs for love, we have Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. When we're hurt and our hearts are broken, we need the kisses of peace in a life of turmoil. The word of God to those who have placed the kiss of faith upon him, that says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. May I say to you, when our lives are in need of fellowship, the kisses of his mouth promise fellowship to those who fear him and obey his word. Through Psalms 119, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Oh, the kisses of his mouth keep us working through life. May I say to you, beloved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why is it that we who love the Savior, we've placed our kiss of faith upon him, we see how his divine manhood, we see who he is, why is it that we want to walk around and we want to flirt with the princes of this world? Why is that? When we have the kisses of his mouth, we have the promises of his word, we doubt whether we're able to meet the task, and the kisses of his word tells us, now, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. When we're discouraged, the kisses of his mouth are encouragement. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When thou passest through the waters, when you need comfort, I will be with thee, the kisses of his mouth say. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When the trouble's so deep, we don't know where to turn, we have the kisses of his mouth from 1 Peter 5, verse 7 that says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May I say to you, we have a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful picture of the Son of God, and it's given to us in the Song of Solomon, because all the Word of God is worth it. And we see here in Song of Solomon, we said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And it says, for thy love is better than wine. I don't know about you, beloved, but when I understand and when I bring my full attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, all the wine and entertainment the wine in the world has to offer is nothing compared to the Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved, if you never trusted Him this morning, may I say to you, He loves you. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in your stead. He's already done the work. All you have to do is place your kiss of faith upon Him. If you have trusted Him, sometimes we need to bring ourselves back to the kisses of His mouth, His Word that works in our hearts. And we need to be obedient to His Word as it works. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, it's pretty simple. Thy Word. But Lord, it speaks to us so deeply. Thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for the fact that You've given us the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon, in every part of Scripture, we don't come to Scripture to examine Scripture, but rather to be examined by it. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, that You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much. He gave His only begotten Son for the lost one. Thank You that You saved me. Dear Heavenly Father, there's no doubt that this morning there's someone here, perhaps they've never trusted You as their Savior. Help them to know the immense love wherewith You've loved them. Help them to place the kiss of faith upon the Son of the Lord, Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. Be with our pastor. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches to us this morning. Help us, the hearers of the Word of God, not to just go through the motions, but to worship You in spirit and in truth. Hearing the Word of God, allowing it to change our lives. We'll be careful to praise You and thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray.